You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation, and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island, to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio descriptions of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died, deaths in custody, sexual abuse and trauma. This is Marissa and I'll be with you for the next hour. On this week's episode of Doin' Time, we will bring you an interview with David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective, who will give an update on Iran, asylum seekers and refugees. David Glantz will be with us shortly and he will give us our usual update of what's happening. And then after that, I'll be reading out a report as a follow-up after I've interviewed the women from Fig Jam, and this was a special show and special dedication that happened a couple of weeks ago. And it's going to be a pretty crazy sort of show today, although there will be very, very sensitive material. No interviews following David. However, I wanted to read out this report as much as I can because it's terribly important. And it's entitled Ending Strip Searching in Australian Prisons, co-authored by Sahini Mita, Senior Lawyer at Human Rights Law Centre, Monique Hurley, Associate Legal Director at Human Rights Law Centre, and Nina Story, Family Violence Justice Project Coordinator at Flatout and Fig Jam member. Now, obviously, I won't be able to read the report in full, but I want listeners to actually have a first-hand account of what the report is like. But in the meantime, we will hear from David shortly after an announcement.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
You're listening to the Doin' Time Show, 3CR Community Radio. And we have David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective who will speak to us and give us an update about what's going on with asylum seekers and refugees in Iran. Hello, David. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Marissa. I hope you're having a good day.
Oh, it's passable, passable. Considering that it's been an extremely tough year with this conflict and so much happening, isn't it, David?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is a tenuous ceasefire at the moment in the Middle East between the US, Israel and Iran, although Israel, of course, is continuing to attack Lebanon. And everybody's waiting to see whether the war will resume or not. And there's been horrific hardship, in particular in Iran, Lebanon as well. And in Iran, we've seen hospitals, schools, universities, homes, offices, all being bombed and destroyed, and thousands of people being killed. It's a horrific situation. I have no sympathy for the government in Tehran, but quite clearly, when the US talked about the liberation of the people of Iran, it's a sick joke. You don't liberate people by bombing them and threatening to destroy their civilization. So I say all that as a little bit of a background for the fact that, of course, not surprisingly, wars and similar conflicts create refugees, and we can expect that to be the case with this war as well. And the response of the Labour government has been utterly hypocritical, and it's a hypocrisy that may have passed many people by, may not be obvious to people.
Tell us about that, David.
Well, the government made a huge song and dance about welcoming Iranian women football players who were here for the Women's Asian Championships, welcoming them to stay in Australia as refugees. And the Home Affairs Minister, Tony Burke, made a point of meeting the women, having his photo taken with them, explaining to them personally that they would be welcome, because apparently some of them thought that if they applied for asylum, they would be sent to an island in the South Pacific. So he made sure that they knew and the media knew that he was rolling out the red carpet for these women. And that's fine. And that's absolutely fine. And I think two women in the end took the offer of asylum, and the others returned home. The very same time that Tony Burke is in the media promoting this government's empathetic credentials, that they stand with people in standing up who are victims of a horrific regime in Tehran, at the very same time, they introduced a piece of legislation which went through quick smart with the support of the coalition, which gives the government the power to bar people from this country, even if they have a valid visa. And it gives senior ministers the power to say people coming from a certain area, a certain country, even if they've already been issued a valid Australian visa, can be barred for periods of 6 months at a time. And within a couple of days, guess what? They activated this law against people from Iran. Now, there were, at the time the law was enacted, something like 7,000 Iranians who had applied for and been granted valid visas to come to this country as tourists, students, business people, whatever. All of them suddenly were told, yes, you've got a visa, but you can't come to Australia in the next 6 months. And Tony Burke, who had been all smiles with the women football players, told the truth about what this was about. And that was the government that was worried that people would come here from Iran for legitimate reasons on a visa, but then apply for asylum and try and get a humanitarian visa. So having opened the door for the women football players, the government slammed the door shut in the face of more than 7,000 people. Now, to put this in some kind of context, the government has granted about 15,000 temporary visas to Ukrainians since Russia invaded Ukraine just over 4 years ago. Actually, Ukrainians have been welcomed into this country, and those who have applied have had a very good chance of being granted a humanitarian visa, which would lead potentially to permanent residency. The same has happened on a much smaller scale, believe it or not, to Palestinians. There have been about 1,000 three-year humanitarian visas granted to Palestinians since the start of the genocide in October 23. So certainly with Ukrainians, to a lesser extent with the Palestinians, the door has been open for people fleeing from war zones But in the case of Iran, it has slammed tight shut. And we in RAC think this is absolutely disgusting.
It is indeed disgusting. So can you actually just summarise that, David, for listeners?
Okay, well, the government
break
now
it
has
down a
the,
bit.
Yeah, sure. The government now has the power to designate a region or a country and say that people coming from that country with a visa from Australia are banned for 6 months at a time. And they can, after 6 months, they can renew that for another 6 months and so on and so on.
So which countries are they?
Well, potentially, theoretically, it could be any country in the world. But
right.
The only country that they've applied this new law to is Iran. Interestingly, the number of people with temporary visas or tourist visas or whatever in the Middle East, there's about 7,000 from Iran. There's over 11,000 people in Israel who also have visas, but they're not being stopped, nor are the people from Saudi Arabia. None of the other Middle Eastern countries are being barred, just Iran. And reminder, this isn't Iranian government officials they've banned. This is ordinary people. Often, in many cases, the parents, sometimes the elderly parents or the brothers and sisters of Iranians who already live in this country, whether they're on bridging visas, temporary visas, or they have citizenship. So these are people who are the victims of war, people who are very often opponents of the tyrannical regime in Tehran, and they are being treated as, if not an enemy, certainly as a problem. The government's basically saying, we don't want to let them in case they apply for a refugee status and an asylum, and then, sorry, we don't even want to take that risk, so you can't even come into the country in the first place. Completely different from their attitude towards Ukraine and to a small extent around Palestine. Now, we've discussed this in the Refugee Action Collective, and we can't see any way that you can't help explain this through the growth of Islamophobia, hatred and discrimination against Muslims. And we know, sadly, that Islamophobia has been on the rise. Various Muslim organisations have reported a very sharp increase in harassment of Muslims on the street, and that often, in fact, overwhelmingly tends to be women who are more easily identified if they wear the hijab. Trolling, bomb threats. Just recently, a far-right racist broke into an iftar dinner in Ballarat, and an iftar dinner is a very peaceful, joyous affair where Muslims come together to break the fast on the day of Ramadan. He broke in and basically told them Islam was stuffed and that they could all take a hike. Obviously very scary. The Islamic Council of Victoria had to close its mosque in West Melbourne a couple of weeks ago because a suspicious package was delivered to their front door. Thankfully, it turned out in the end it wasn't explosive, but it was certainly abusive. And these examples I'm giving you are just the tips of the iceberg. And Pauline Hanson has bought into this. I mean, we know she came out and said there are no good Muslims in the wake of the Bondi massacre.
Oh.
And
yes.
She is picking up on incidents like Bondi, and she's trying to turn it into a generalised hate and fear of Muslim people. And the sad thing is that the Labour government, to a large extent, is going along with this. You think about, of course, they disagreed with Hanson. They rejected her argument there were no good Muslims. Of course they said that. But then the state Labour government in New South Wales refused to apologise when police beat up Muslim men praying at the town hall on the day of a rally against the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog. The government has brought in legislation aimed at so-called hate preachers, in other words, at Muslim clerics, or at least some Muslim clerics. Anthony Albanese said it was too dangerous to bring less than three dozen women and children from refugee, well, not camps, camps in Syria, where because they previously, the women had been married to members of ISIS. And yet the majority of people who could have been brought back safely and under supervision were children. And the government is basically saying Muslim children are so dangerous they can't be brought back. Well, it's a free kick for Pauline Hanson. And then they bring in legislation like what I've outlined. And, of course, it theoretically could apply to anywhere in the world. But surprise, surprise, it applies to a Muslim majority nation. And
just to be clear here, so basically this legislation was rushed through, was it, around the time of the war?
Pretty much at the same time as Tony Burke was making a big song and dance about welcoming the Iranian football players. So after the war had started, yes.
And that's actually a bill?
Oh, well, it's now an act. It's been passed. It's law, which is why they've now been able to ban people coming from Iran, or not necessarily from Iran, but coming from anywhere in the world with an Iranian passport, even though they have a valid visa. And, you know, the right wing like to go on about people queue jumping and not going through the right process. Here are around 7,000 people who have gone through the right process. Presumably they've been checked out, they've paid a fee, they've been issued a visa, and then the door slams in their face, just in case the government is worried that they might apply to stay in this country as refugees. Well, if it's good enough for the football players to stay as refugees, what's wrong with these people? They wouldn't all have applied, but what's wrong with these people potentially applying for refugee status? They're fleeing from a tyrannical regime, which the Australian government condemns, and they're fleeing a war, which Albanese has been pretty mealy-mouthed, but he's finally come around to maybe suggesting that Trump and Israel are not doing the right thing, and they're clearly, you know, and that threats of destroying Iran are incorrect. So these people, if they did apply for refugee status, they'd be fleeing a war and they'd be fleeing a tyrannical regime. Well, that seems pretty a solid basis to me to allow people to apply for humanitarian visas. And Labor is preventing them from ever getting to the country so that they can't ever apply for these visas. So I think it's racist. I think it's Islamophobic. It's cruel. There are Iranian Australians living amongst us who now can't see their family members who had visas to come and visit them. This is really shocking stuff. And that's one of the reasons, a major reason, why Refugee Action Collective is holding a forum next week, this time next Monday at 6:30. So Monday the 20th at 6:30 in the evening, at the Kathleen Syme Library in Carlton, and it will also be on Zoom, and you can get the Zoom link through our Facebook page. And we're holding a meeting which basically is calling out the hypocrisy, calling out the Islamophobia, and saying refugees should be welcome here. And we have two great speakers lined up, and we're hoping to get a third. The two great speakers is Councillor Rayanne Hawley, and she's a councillor with Hobson Bay Council in the western suburbs. She's a Muslim herself. She's a member of Labour Friends of Palestine, and she's also a migration lawyer. So she's going to be bringing a lot of both personal insights and professional insights to the meeting. And the other speaker will be Angelica Panopoulos, who is with the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. And, of course, the ASRC often is left to pick up the pieces when life goes wrong for refugees and asylum seekers in this country. And we hope there'll be a third speaker, but we've definitely got those two great speakers, and we'd welcome listeners to come along to the forum next Monday evening.
Fantastic. And so the forum will really talk about, you know, what's happening with Islamophobia and other issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, the immediate focus is the Iranian people,
sure,
because of the law that's been brought in. But there's clearly a broader thing at stake, that the people who are treated most harshly by border control in this country come from Muslim-majority countries, not just Iran, but Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, and so on. And we need to call out this Islamophobia for what it is. It's a form of racism. The government goes on and on and on about anti-Semitism, but it really doesn't seem to be very interested in racism towards Muslims. Well, at RAC, we think all forms of racism have to be rejected, and we need government policies that respect people's human rights and respect people's religion and don't discriminate in the way that this new law does, in such a vicious way.
It's really timely to have this forum on Monday, organised by the Refugee Action Collective, and I would really encourage listeners to rock up to that event. Can you just tell us again where it is?
Yeah, sure. Time? It's 6:30 next Monday night, Monday the 20th, and it will be held at the Kathleen Syme Library. And the Kathleen Syme Library is in Faraday Street in Carlton, so very close to Swanston Street and the trams, if you're coming by public transport. And there will also be a Zoom link. If people go to the Refugee Action Collective Facebook page and look for the event, you'll find a Zoom link.
David, thank you so much for coming onto the program. It's been lovely to have you. And I like to have guests such as yourself on the Do and Time show. It has been a long-standing tradition of this program to have not just lawyers and academics, but also, you know, grassroots activists coming onto the show to speak about, you know, the events like this and forums and giving updates of what they're doing, the work that they're doing. Because let's face it, David, look, it's all volunteer. No one gets paid for this.
No.
You know, and it's a 24-hour thing. It isn't just that you're going to go to an event and then just forget the whole thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, we're very serious about trying to build a mass movement that can put pressure on the Labor government to reverse some, at least the very worst of its policies, and obviously to fight for the rights of refugees and asylum seekers wherever in the world they come from.
Absolutely. And, of course, the show welcomes academics and lawyers. That, you know, it's fantastic, but it's always good to have that lived experience, isn't it, as well, from marginalised communities.
Absolutely. And I really thank you very much for having me on the show again. It's really appreciated, and I hope listeners have found the information annoying and makes them angry, but also makes them active and engaged.
David, thank you so much, and you take care and have a wonderful week.
Yeah, you too, Marissa. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
We've got a common enemy. The same government that locks up these refugees just behind us here at the Park Hotel is the same government that's going for our rights, trying to attack the very limited gains that casuals have. And so when union activists take up the cause of refugees amongst their fellow workers, it's not an act of charity. It's about building workers' united self-defence mechanism, understanding that we're all part of the same battle.
You're listening to Radical Radio on 3CR, 855 on your AM dial, 3CR digital, and podcasting and streaming on 3cr.org.au.
And you just heard an interview with David Glance from the Refugee Action Collective speaking about a forum that's coming up on Monday night. You can always contact the Refugee Action Collective to find out more about this event. And we spoke about asylum seekers and refugees and the war
in Iran. And you're listening to the Doin' Time Show.
Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? All I'm asking, Lord, is this what we deserve? We've been here since time began. Our ancestors' footprints are buried in the sand. We are but caretakers of this ancient land. But you still don't understand. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Your laws are so unjustified. Our basic human rights have been denied. Come up with excuses like your hands are tied. But you go on committing genocide. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? What we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Keep on trying. And our poor eyes, they just keep on crying. And sadly, our people, they just keep on dying. While you just keep on lying. Is this what we deserve? What we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve?
Is this what we deserve?
All our babies keep on crying.
Listeners have just tuned in. This is the Doin' Time Show. It's approximately 4:29. And following on from the interview with David Glantz, I'm going to be reading out part of a report, and it's just a follow-up, and I think it's quite important to read out parts of this report entitled Ending Strip Searching in Australian Prisons. listeners may recall that 2 weeks ago I had a very special show dedicated to women in prison, and we had Nina Story. We also had Georgia and also Kelly Flanagan, who's First Nations, and we had a really crucial discussion about this report, and the lived experience was really emphasised on the show, and a lot of things were discussed. And I think that I felt that it was important for me to read out some of the things in the report just to give listeners more of an idea. And then I'm hoping to have the Human Rights Law Centre in a couple of weeks to do a follow-up interview as well. Next Monday, of course, the 20th of April, will be the special tribute show for Ray Jackson. That time of year has come around again, and the Do and Time show has been instrumental in actually bringing you commemorations and tributes to elders who have, Aboriginal elders and warriors who have died. And Torres Strait Islander people as well, if applicable. So a lot of things have been going on with strip searches. And this report is really amazing. Like, I've had a really good look at it, and it's great. It actually starts off with a really beautiful acknowledgement to country, which I won't have time to read out. But if people want to actually look at the report, please go to the website at the Human Rights Law Centre. But I'll read out the end of the acknowledgement, and I'll start off by reading out who's co-authored it and also have a look a bit at the foreword. So we acknowledge the role of the colonial legal and carceral systems in establishing and perpetuating the oppression of First Nations peoples, and that we have a responsibility to work in solidarity with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and organisations to undo the injustices imposed on them since colonisation. And the authors, as I said in my introduction, this report was co-authored by Sahini Mita, Senior Lawyer at Human Rights Law Centre, Monique Hurley, Associate Legal Director at Human Rights Law Centre, and Nina Story, Family Violence Justice Project Coordinator at Flat Out and FIGJAM member. This report honours the contributions of formerly incarcerated people and members of FIGJAM. We also wish to express our particular thanks to Auntie Vicky Roach, and for the assistance provided by Karen Fletcher, Maggie Munn, Georgia Smith and Josephine Lambini in the preparation of this report. Formerly incarcerated justice advocates, Melbourne FIGJAM. FIGJAM is a collective of formerly incarcerated women based in Melbourne who have survived violence in the community, but also at the hands of the state, namely prisons and police. FIGJAM was founded by Family Violence Justice Project Coordinator from Flat Out, Nina, in the hope and dream of building a community of staunch advocates providing connection, support and stability to its members. FIGJAM used their voices and experiences to change community attitudes and push through barriers of stigma and discrimination. They are invited regularly to consult, sit on focus groups, present at conferences, engage with and attend community events, influence policy reform, write submissions and participate in creative arts activities, podcasts and research. So, and then it follows on, it talks about Flat Out and various other things, but I'll jump through to the foreword. Strip searches in prisons must end. As a strong, proud UN woman who is subjected to strip searches while caged in custody, I can tell you that it is state-sanctioned sexual assault. It is akin to being ambushed, raped, and forced to strip naked in front of screws, dressed in deliberately authoritarian, intimidating uniforms. And I would like to issue another content warning. I did do so in my introduction, but this is going to be really, really sensitive material. And I'll give you some numbers later. I am a survivor of the Stolen Generations, and from personal experience, I can tell you that strip searching is an extension of the sexual abuse I was subjected to as a child. When you have been subjected time and time again to this kind of treatment in a kid's home, you figure out pretty quickly that your own body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them, and they can do what they like to you. I am also a survivor of family violence, and I can tell you that strip searching replicates the dehumanising dynamics of abusive relationships. It only serves to degrade, humiliate, and allow others to assert control over our naked and vulnerable bodies. For most, if not all, women in prison, being strip searched in itself will trigger extreme lifelong trauma. The imbalance of power between the screw and you makes the practice ripe for abuse. They've seen your birthmarks, the imperfections in your body, and they will make derogatory and belittling comments in front of other screws and people detained in the prison. It is an intimidatory tool. You are naked in front of two fully uniformed screws, complete with defensive apparatus. You hear many stories of women opting for non-contact, box visits over contact visits, with their family, their lawyers and others, to avoid the trauma of being stripped naked. There is no evidence base for strip searches. The data is clear that strip searches rarely find anything as a result of subjecting people to the process. All strip searches are doing is traumatising people, particularly women. The data is also unlikely to paint the full picture, with records not always kept when people are subjected to strip searches. In most places, we do not know how many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are being subjected to strip searches, because those records are simply not kept. It is unnecessary to strip search people in prison, and it is ridiculous that it is still occurring today when we have had the technology for decades to maintain security in prisons without resorting to strip searching. There are less invasive and less traumatising ways of preventing contraband entering prison. But strip searching continues because the screws simply want to retain the control that this practice allows them to have over us. They relish having power over you and the control that power permits. Pathways to make complaints about prison practices are limited and obstructed. Nobody is properly overseeing these powers, and nobody is watching the watchers to make sure that people's human rights are not being abused behind bars. Attempts to complain often result in targeted reprisals. Sometimes this is meted out in the form of being subjected to extra strip searching. How ironic. Sometimes this is meted out by unnecessary cell searches, often with prison dogs. Other times by being subjected to excessive urine testing in a small room with two or more uniformed screws crowded up against you. All of this are other tools of power and control. Prisons are brutal, dehumanising places. While many people think that prisons make us safer, they do not. In fact, they make everyone less safe, inside and out. The trauma, abuse and aggression that is an everyday part of prison life undermines any attempt to rehabilitate and causes resentment. Prisons do not break cycles of abuse. They perpetuate them. We need to be helping people to heal, not harming them further by subjecting them to demeaning practices such as strip searching. There must be more focus on what the alternatives to prison could be. The entire system is rotten to the core, from the top down, from the policy makers to the policy enforcers. The entire incarceration system needs to be dismantled. I have always fiercely advocated for people in prison that they are deserving of dignity and that their human rights must be respected. For us to be called human, we must respect everyone's human rights. I have told my story far and wide. I have told the prisons, I have told the government, I have told the media, and I have told the Europe Justice Commission. Now I am telling you, and you need to listen. Auntie Vicky Roach, strong, proud Ewan woman. So that was Auntie Vicky Roach. It's approximately 4:39, and you are listening to a report entitled Ending Strip Searching in Australian Prisons. And I think we'll go into an announcement.
Every form of discrimination that exists in our community is magnified and utilised by prisons to cause greater division and disarm solidarity.
We've got to really put a lens of perspective on this and know that there are children being incarcerated as young as 10 years old.
Police and prisons, they're doing exactly what this colony wants them to.
Who do we defend?
We!
And who else? Prisons, pull them down.
Yay.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
War or public housing? Resist the push to defund essential services. Increasing militarisation and drive to war around the world is taking public money away from essential government spending on things like public housing, education, aged care, childcare and health. On Thursday, 16th of April at 6 p.m, come and hear from speakers on how we can resist the push to become a weapons economy and instead fund essential public services. Blue Room, City of Melbourne's multicultural hub. For more information and to RSVP for your free ticket, please visit the Save Public Housing Collective on Facebook or Instagram. A 3CR supporter.
And you're back with the Doin' Time show, and it's approximately 4:41. And if this has brought up things for you, or stuff that you, if you're very upset, or if you're feeling really horrible about what you've just heard in this report, you can contact Jan, 13 Jan, on 1392 76. You can call Suicide Callback Service, 1300 659 467. So that those are just a few numbers there. And you can also call Lifeline as well. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit more of the report. As I said, this is very sensitive material. If you don't feel comfortable, turn your radio off or call some of those numbers. This report calls for all governments to ban the use of strip searches in prisons in law. Every day, people in prisons across Australia are subjected to strip searching, despite the existence of less invasive search alternatives. Strip searching is an unnecessary, degrading and deeply harmful practice that must end. It involves a person literally being stripped of their dignity, being forced to remove their clothing for their bodies, to be inspected by prison guards, and often also being forced to submit to humiliating requests like bending, squatting and spreading their legs. Often people's first experience in prison will be a strip search. In many prisons, people are subjected to strip searches repeatedly and routinely. In most jurisdictions, children as young as 10 can be forced to remove their clothing in front of adult prison guards. They will be ushered into a room with two adult prison guards and ordered to remove their clothing. Their genitals will be exposed. Their underwear will be inspected. Their chests will be laid bare. In this report, formerly incarcerated women, trans and gender diverse people share their experiences of being subjected to strip searches in Australian prisons, a practice long condemned by lived experience advocates. Strip searching is a practice that would be criminal if imposed on the wider community. For decades, people with lived experience of incarceration have been calling it out for what it is: sexual violence at the hands of the state. Yet, as a result of the dehumanisation of people in prison, it is authorised by law in prisons across the country. Lawmakers across Australia purport to justify the practice of strip searching as necessary to prevent contraband from entering prisons and to ensure the security and good order of prisons. Data and a mounting body of evidence demonstrates, however, that strip searching does not serve either of these ends. The practice is unnecessary, ineffective, and rarely identifies items, let alone dangerous items of contraband. It does not have a deterrent effect, nor does reducing strip searching lead to an increase in contraband in prisons. While strip searching fails to achieve its purported purposes, it continues to be wielded by prison authorities as a tool of punishment and coercive control, unchecked by proper oversight. Abuse thrives behind bars, and horrifying accounts of perpetrators exploiting strip search practices to sexually abuse children in youth prisons have been revealed. Strip searching is re-traumatising with the higher numbers of people in prison, particularly women and children who are victim survivors of family and sexual violence. It is a gender tactic of state violence that draws on patriarchal logics of control, domination and sexual humiliation. For Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in prison, the horrific harms of strip searching are compounded by their mass incarceration and the already discriminatory treatment they are at risk of being subjected to in prison. For trans and gender diverse people, strip searching is excessively harmful in a prison system that is completely unable to meet their needs. International human rights standards are clear that strip searching should be undertaken only if absolutely necessary. This report makes the case that strip searches are not necessary, with less invasive search alternatives available. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity, and there is no reason for governments to subject people in prison to a practice that can scar them for life, when prison authorities can use safer, less intrusive and more effective alternatives, like scanners, similar to those used at airports and public buildings across the country. This report is being published at a time when the number of people being pipelined into prisons across the country is skyrocketing due to discriminatory and turbocharged tough-on-crime politics. And strip searches represent only one cruel castle tool of many that undermines any rehabilitative purpose that prisons purport to serve. Alongside ending the strip searching of people in prisons, governments must work to end the country's mass imprisonment crisis. Instead of expanding the criminal punishment system and subjecting more people to brutal practices like strip searches, all state and territory governments must build up the community supports required to divert people away from prisons. Key findings. There is no evidence of any relationship between strip searching and contraband detection. Data covering varying periods in 2021 to 2022 shows that in some cases, zero items are identified despite hundreds of strip searches. For example, in Victoria, in the month of April 2022, 221 recorded strip searches were conducted on women at the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, with zero items found. Similarly, Tasmania, over 3 months during 2022, women in prison were subjected to at least 817 strip searches with no items recorded as being found. So that's the first finding. Finding number two, people in prison experience strip searches as acts of sexual assault and coercive control. For decades, lived experience advocates have asserted that strip searches are state-perpetuated sexual violence. The testimonies of formerly incarcerated women, trans and gender-diverse people, as set out in this report, confirm how deeply traumatising strip searches are, particularly for the many people locked away in prison who are victim survivors of sexual violence, family violence and child abuse. You're listening to the Do and Time Show at 3CR Community Radio, and I'm reading out a report about strip searches in Australian prisons. Please call 13 Yarn, Lifeline and other relevant organisations. Please turn off your radio if this is too much for you. Please debrief with a friend after the show or a relative if you're feeling depressed or if this has brought up things for you. Finding number three, the ends do not justify the means. Strip searches are conducted routinely but rarely uncover dangerous items. Based on data covering varying periods in 2021 to 2022, it is estimated that on average adults in prison across six Australian jurisdictions were subjected to more than 15,000 strip searches each month, with strip searches most commonly conducted for routine reasons. Rarely any items found were dangerous, with items including stationery, personal care products, jewellery, food and basic clothing. Finding number four, less invasive alternatives expose strip searches that are necessary. A number of body scanners are already available in prisons across Australia and have reduced unnecessary prison strip searches. For example, in South Australia, following the installation of scanners at Kulana Tapa Youth Prison, the practice of strip searching children has reportedly ceased. Recent reporting on the introduction of body scanning technology in ACT adult prisons also indicates that this has significantly reduced the rate at which people are being subjected to strip searches. It's approximately 4:50. We'll go into a short announcement.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice. Voice.
This country's black future is a fire.
The law is part of our everyday lives, including when we buy something, use a service, have a job, or rent a house. The law can be used to help protect and support families when there is violence in the home or disputes over parenting arrangements. Sometimes we might need to understand the law to navigate specific government systems like Centrelink, getting a residency visa, or if we come into contact with the police. Community legal centres provide free, quality legal advice and assistance to help people with everyday legal problems. We focus on working with people who are experiencing disadvantage, such as financial hardship, family violence, homelessness, and discrimination. Community legal centres are independent, non-government organisations and can be found across Victoria and Australia. If you're experiencing a legal problem, your local community legal centre may be able to help. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres Victoria at www.fclc.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
You're listening to the Doing Time Show 3CR, and this is Marissa, and I'm just reading out a report co-authored by the Lived Experience of Women in Prison and the Human Rights Law Centre, entitled "Strip Searches in Australian Ending Strip Searches in Australian Prisons." But it's nearly the end of the show. I'll just read a little bit more and then I'll say goodbye. So we were actually up to the executive summary, and remember, this is very sensitive material. I've issued several content warnings throughout the show. So finding number five, people in prison are routinely having their human rights breached by strip searches. International human rights standards are clear that adults should only be subjected to strip searches when absolutely necessary. The availability of less invasive alternatives means that it should never be absolutely necessary to subject people in prisons to the cruel and degrading practice. The ongoing use of strip searches calls into question prison authorities' compliance with international human rights standards. Finding number six. Children are being forced to strip in front of adult prison guards. In most Australian jurisdictions, children as young as 10 are incarcerated and can be subjected to strip searching. So I've kind of covered this. I think that was actually also covered in the foreword. But I'm glad that I was actually able to read, quite a bit of this introductory material from the report. There is also a supplementary paper as well that is a companion to this report. So if you wish to find out more, go to the Human Rights Law Centre website. It's approximately 4:54, and we're nearing the end of our show. Thank you so much to David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective for coming onto the show today. And I'll be back next week with doing a special tribute to Ray Jackson's anniversary. And so I'll be back next week. Stay tuned every Monday for the Doin' Time Show from 4 to 5, and be kind to each other. Take care. Bye.
as long as you a true fella, as long as you a real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan? Black fella, white fella, yellow fella, any fella, it doesn't matter what your color, as long as you a true fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter which religions, it's all the same. Well, the ship is sinking. We need more brothers if we can make it. We need more sisters if we can save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.